In November 2017, the Extel Development Company, owned solely by Gary Barnett, purchased some 2,300 acres of land known as Mayflower. It's the property that rises up west of the Jordanelle Reservoir to the southern boundary of Deer Valley Resort. The property is located within Wasatch County, but all of the land use decisions are now being made by an appointed board of directors known as MIDA. This is the Military Installation Development Authority. On the phone is Gary Barnett as part of an agreement that I made to give his attorneys more time to file a motion in opposition of my motion to unseal the lawsuit that Mr. Barnett had filed last October against a former employee, Van Haymeyer, and his partner, Diana Swanner. Mr. Barnett agreed to record this interview, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
If you would, just begin by telling us who you are. Word on the street is that you're New York City's biggest developer, even bigger than Donald Trump.
I think part of that might be true, but I'm certainly not New York City's biggest developer. I think there are bigger developers than we are. But we're one of the significant developers in New York City. And Donald Trump has not been developing in New York City for quite some years. He's got better things to do right now.
So why are you here in Park City? I mean, it seems your preference is for large metropolitan areas, not former sheep grazing and mining lands.
That's a good question. So it goes back quite some years. I think now it's between 15 and 20 years ago. I was brought to Park City to invest in a piece of land that's now known as Too High, which has been developed now by Jack Bistritz's company. So we were partners in that deal and in another deal in Kansas City. I was brought there by somebody I knew, and we went down the road in terms of acquisition and land development. And then after a couple of years, Jack, we separated, we parted ways, and he kept the Park City assets. I got Kansas City assets and whatever, we split ways. And so that was my first exposure and interest in Utah and in Park City. And then sometime later, I guess a few years ago, I was approached by somebody who had worked for me in the past and said, well, there's this piece of land that's potentially interesting to buy, and went into it. It was called Blue Ledge. I think this goes back about 4 years now. Well, it probably goes back even more, maybe 5 or 6 years. But eventually, after some period of time, I went ahead and bought that piece of property. It was interesting. It was a small piece of property, 40 acres, but I was told that it was in the MIDA district, which meant that there was more flexibility but also more speed. Less red tape in terms of potentially developing it. I was also shown a very pretty design to what could be built there eventually. That wasn't quite accurate, but in any event, I went in there, I bought the property, we paid all cash, and that was the start of what developed into, you know, significant land acquisition in that area.
All right, I want to get back to the relationship with Jack Bistritzer, but let's talk about just the draw here in Utah. I mean, we got certainly low property taxes, but what else?
Look, I mean, Utah is this beautiful state, a beautiful land. It's on the Deer Valley Mountain. So, I mean, it's beautiful there, and generally speaking, people, you know, are trying to help. They're not... You know, I'm based in New York City, and you know, there's like an anti-development attitude there sometimes from some areas, and it's gotten a little bit worse there. And in Utah, that's just not the way it is. There's a lot more common sense. There's a recognition that, you know, development is good if it's well thought out and that it does provide jobs. So it's a better environment to work in. And as I say, the fact that there was the MIDA jurisdiction, you know, kind of had provided us with more certainty and more confidence that we would actually be able to get a well-thought-out project approved. And that's, in fact, turned out to be the case.
And I'm going to get back to that whole MIDA agreement. But we've heard that Mayflower Mountain is to become another portal into the Deer Valley Resort. Is that still the plan?
It's very possible. We're in ongoing discussions, but we've been talking to them for several years, actually, almost since we bought our land. And then, of course, the owners of Deer Valley sold it to a new group. It's possible, but there's nothing conclusive at this point.
Well, your property, I mean, we're talking about a lot lower elevation skiing that's going to need a lot of snowmaking, a lot of grooming. Do you have what it takes to be your own ski resort without Deer Valley?
Again, this is all stuff that's a little bit early for us to discuss. We're doing work on several different possibilities, and so just not ready to say what the future is going to be there.
Yeah, I think Wasatch County Council, though, was interested in this, knowing that it was a partnership with Deer Valley. So the fact that there may not be an operating or development agreement with Deer Valley, does that kind of negate what Wasatch County had given you in terms of development approvals?
I don't think so, and I don't know that we've gotten Wasatch County development approvals, actually. As I say, I think it's in the MIDA jurisdiction. But we did get some approvals from them, and they actually approved us going into MIDA. So I think they've been working well with us as well. We have, no complaints at this point. I think everybody's so far happy with what we're envisioning up and down the line. It's a respectful plan. It doesn't put tremendous density on the property. And as to, the skiing possibilities, we definitely have the right to connect to Deer Valley with the ski lift. And whether that gets, more extended and more extensive, we're not sure yet. So, our plans will get firmed up in the next few months, and we'll have a better idea then. And who knows, maybe you'll give me another interview.
So you have your final approvals. You could start building any time at this point?
I think that's true, or near true. I think we could, and we are hopefully going to begin construction in the next few months on the first of the vertical structures. We've been started a little bit on infrastructure, but we will be continuing on infrastructure, and we're hopeful that in the next few months we'll be able to start excavation foundation on kind of the first part of the project and our commitment to MIDA, which is to begin work on what's going to be a really nice conference hotel that will enable the military to benefit, and also, of course, to have conferences and to provide something in the community that really isn't there right now.
Yeah, and that's what's just so interesting, is how is it that what started out to be about 100 hotel rooms in a 4-star hotel that would be used for our servicemen and women at reduced rates has now exploded into basically MIDA plan. I mean, we've got not only this 100 rooms in one hotel, but we have this entire 2,300 acres now part of MIDA Town, with plans to annex even portions of the Hideout development, perhaps even the Sky Ridge development.
I don't know about those two developments. No, nobody's told me about that. That's not contiguous to us, is it?
I think Hideout. I've heard Hideout is, yes.
Hideout?
Mm-hmm.
Hideout? I don't know anything about that. I know that our contiguous land that we control and that we own is in MIDA. But that basically centers around what I'm talking about. But I would say that, it sounds easy. Just go ahead and put up a hotel, and it's going to support the military. But the reality is that to do a new project and to get the land and to have the infrastructure and to have a large enough hotel that will be able to survive, right? Because it's not going to just survive as a 100-key, subsidized hotel. So to do all that, that takes a lot of money and a lot of planning, and to do something right, you know, is not so easy. And they were trying to do this for years and years before we came around. Nothing got done. And God willing, now we're going to actually get something done with a plan that I think is overall been very well received by the community. As I say, it's not high density. It's a very nice village that we can, you know, really add. We haven't seen any real pushback to this, and I think it's going to turn out very, very nice. I think everybody's going to be proud of it.
Well, Senate Bill 269 was approved this past legislative session here in Utah, and it was my understanding that you had hired a lobbyist to see this legislation through, and this basically then just gave MIDA this more authority than beyond this 100 rooms or that 40 acres of Blue Ledge. I guess, I mean, why is this a good thing for residents to have an appointed out-of-town board making our community's land decisions?
I think it's, again, I don't have to speak for MIDA. You should interview them, you know, directly. I don't know that MIDA is out of town. I think it's certainly a Utah-based entity and has done some successful things elsewhere around Hill Air Force Base. But just to go into that, I mean, I think the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. And this is not an add-on or an imposition on some community where people are up in arms about this. I think this is something where we've taken an unused portion of the mountain that Deer Valley is on, and which has very good accessibility directly to the highways, and we are trying to develop that into what could be a very nice and high-performing village. Hotels, great, you know, accessibility to the Deer Valley Mountain, which will enhance all of the economy in the area and on the mountain. I'm not sure, you know, that there's any real downside to this. As I say, it's not super high dense, and it has very good accessibility. So, I mean, why not look at it first and kind of then make judgments instead of saying, well, this is some other entity that's involved. And keep in mind that this is a substantial undertaking. It needs certainty. It needs speed. And sometimes the existing system can't really deal with something like this. You know, there's takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of time. And the local authorities have got a ton of stuff on their plate already. And on the other hand, we're looking at making major commitments. You know, this is going to be multi-hundreds of millions of dollars expended in, you know, just the first hotel is going to be very significant. So we need to know, you know, with certainty that we're going to kind of get something done. We're going to be able to get the rest of the community done, because it's all about a critical mass here. You can't build a village if you don't know you're going to be able to build the end of the village. I mean, the resort towns of the West are littered with developments and projects that started out very nicely and then hit a downturn and then never got finished, or got finished over 10 or 20 or 30 years later. So, you know, it's so important to get something that's successful that everybody will enjoy and will make an addition to the community. So it's very important to have this kind of clarity, speed, and certainty. And I think that's one of the major things that the MIDA authority brings, to the ability to move things along quickly.
But what I hear you saying is that we, the community, have to give up our representative, our representation, having it go through the Wasatch County Planning Office, the Wasatch County Council, so that you can get it through MIDA sooner than you would having to wait your turn going through the Wasatch County offices.
No, I don't think that that's the entire story. I think we did go through Wasatch County. I think if you look at it, we did go through it. They basically approved our model and our master plan. We've had consultations with the planning authority, with the council. The council voted, I think, unanimously to send us to MIDA, because they were satisfied with our plans. They did look at our plans. They did like what we're doing, and we are going to be working on a joint basis, an interactive basis with the county also. I don't think you should be portraying it as somehow this is a negative or against what the local community and local council want. They saw everything that we're doing. They approved it, I don't know whether they formally approved it, but they certainly approved it. They like what we're doing, and they're the ones who agreed to send us over to MITRE because they appreciated the fact that it was a huge burden to take care of this and that we would be able to get more certainty out of it.
Okay. It was not my understanding that Wasatch County sent you over to MITRE, so that spins a new light on this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You had mentioned Jack Bistricer. My understanding is that you guys are longtime friends, actually. Can you tell me about your relationship? I mean, you said that you had some business dealings here with Toohey, and I mean, do you have a financial relationship with them? And did you ever loan him any money?
No. Actually, when we went into the deal, he put in most of the money in the couple of deals that we were in. It wasn't a large amount at that time. And we were friends going back, I don't know, maybe 40 years now, in school. And, you know, we went down the road, we were in this together for a couple of years and then parted ways.
So I've heard that there are plans in the works to try and link Mayflower Mountain to Park City Mountain Resort. Of course, Mr. Bistricer still owns the property there, that he purchased from United Park City Mines, that basically stretches from the canyons to Deer Valley. I mean, is that a plan to try and connect it to Park City somehow?
I don't know. I mean, Park City, I think Jack owns the land under the Canyons Resort, maybe, and leases it to Ulterra. I'm not sure what the arrangement is. Not to Ulterra, sorry, to Vail Resorts.
Correct.
I don't think he controls, you know, what goes on in terms of linking or not linking. But I really don't know. I'm not familiar with, you know, with other parties' plans.
Okay, so no negotiations taking place then to become maybe part of Vail Resorts as opposed to Deer Valley Resort.
I'm just not going to comment on those kind of questions.
Because
I'm not. It's a speculative, private question. I'm not answering on that.
All right. Well, tell me what you can about the lawsuit then that you filed against Van Hamayer and Diana Swanner. As you mentioned, Mr. Hamayer, of course, served as your vice president of development for a year or so ago.
More than a year. It was several years, actually. Mm-hmm. So when we purchased the property, he signed on. He had made a very nice profit on the property, then stayed in for a profits interest besides that, and then also went to work for Extel as a vice president and worked for Extel for several years. The problem is he forgot that he was a vice president working for Extel and then tried to expropriate some property that we were trying to buy for himself, in order to hold us up for more compensation, shall we say.
So why did you need the case sealed?
We have various aspects of our business plan and internal business affairs that could damage us if it was revealed prematurely. So that's why we did not want it to be disclosed.
So this is a civil lawsuit, and I guess he didn't do anything criminally wrong. It's just something that you think that he did morally or ethically wrong?
Legally wrong, morally wrong, ethically wrong, every which way that anyone can think of it, it was wrong. You don't work for somebody, take their salaries year after year, and then, you know, see an opportunity to expropriate something for yourself and do that. You owe us the obligation. You're working for us. You were working in our direction. It was something that we were trying to buy, and you don't then turn around and try and expropriate that for yourself. I don't think anybody, let's say it another way, 99 out of 100 people who look at this would say it's unbelievable. Not just wrong, it's unbelievable. But everybody's entitled to their opinion. I think it's very, very disappointing. I was really surprised, and I've been in business a long time. But it is what it is, and so we certainly are hopeful that everything will get taken care of in the courts.
All right. So, I mean, do you see it going through, or do you think that this is going to be settled here?
No idea. I can't see any reason. You know, I mean, we're going down the road. We've done the depositions, and who knows? You know, yeah, with settlements, you never know till they're done. But we don't have any discussions going on.
Yeah. Do you plan to unseal this, or you're gonna fight this to the end?
I actually don't know. You know, I have to kind of revisit it. This phone conversation, this interview is actually just kind of, I'm giving you kind of the background as to what's going on. And I would have to update and look at it and see when whatever is disclosed in the lawsuit and depositions, when that might not be so time sensitive anymore. So with the passage of time, it will eventually be something that could be unsealed. As a matter of damage to us. So right now it would be damaging to our business plan, but down the road, you know, it might not matter, and then we would consider unsealing it.
All right. Well, as you know, I mean, it's me against your...
And we'll give it to you first. How's that?
Well, I guess just my argument, and I just want people to know that, is that this is the biggest development in Wasatch County's history, and it just seems that it's something that the public has a right to know.
Well, I actually disagree with you, because it's not development-related. This is an employment issue. This is a violation of trust and expropriation, attempted expropriation of property, and that has nothing to do with the development. It's a personal matter, and I see no reason why that's something that's in the public interest to know. It's not about the development. If it was, maybe you'd have a point, but it isn't.
All right. Well, you've spent much more time than you had agreed to. I appreciate that. Right. Anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
Just that we hope to, you know, be successful here in the state of Utah and in Wasatch County and Deer Valley and Park City. And we think we have really beautiful plans. And God willing, we'll be able to add something that really adds to the whole skiing experience, the whole mountain resort experience in Park City, and will be a great addition to the community.
All right. Gary Barnett, again, the founder and chairman of the Extel Development Company. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Nice to talk to you.